Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 reads, "But what do you think? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" This is one of the most arresting statements that Christ spoke. Now, these words are part of a lesson on repentance, but it has a very definite application to all of us who have made the decision to serve God. You know, oftentimes we read over verses of Scripture and chapters and we think there is one specific theme, but that's not always the case. As I'll explain this evening, go work today is more than just repentance. In this verse, we have the five W's. And that's what we'll look at tonight. The who here is the Son. It is a command that has not been given indiscriminately. The address is very specific. The Son in this verse denotes a relationship with God the Father. And not everybody, regardless of what they may think, has really obtained this relationship. In John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13, the scripture reads, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." When we look at this verse, we can't help but think that this is a call to labor. And you're absolutely right. It is a call to labor. But here also in this very portion here, the who is a divine relationship with God the Father. Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You know, we walk around every single day knowing that we are of Christ, that we are a part of the body of Christ, but oftentimes we don't relate to ourselves that we are his sons and his daughters. We kind of skip over that. You know, as with our own children, they have certain responsibilities that they are given. We, as sons and daughters of God, are called to serve and not be served. Just being in his family should give us a tremendous reason and motivation to serve. There's work that has to be done. And if there wasn't any work to be done, why would he call for workers? In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, Paul, he wrote, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." And there is our dedication right there to his work. That we are accepted. This is a personal matter. You know, I don't know how many of you may have held jobs to where someone, maybe one of your co-workers, had taken credit for the hard work that you have done. But that doesn't work in the Lord's service. We are not going to get to heaven off the backs of others who are doing God's will. We're not. As with anything that we seek to accomplish in this life, the more we put into it, the more we will get out of it. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul wrote here, but let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know, it's amazing how most sensible people will understand and give credit where credit is due. And will be willing to say, I didn't have a hand in that. I appreciate the work. And there are others who will willingly stand next to those who did the work and claim the credit also. I hope it is our desire that when the time comes, each of us will hear, well done, a good and faithful servant. That should be our desire. But those words, that reward, is reserved for those who work. 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 9 and 10, Paul said, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You know, has your neighbor ever come up to you and said, well, I built your house? We all know that's not true. I've had some come over and tell me how to handle my house, but they never told me they built it. Our life today provides the opportunity to work. The next life will give us the rest we deserve. Therefore, my beloved, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In 1974, it seems like a long time ago. October 1974, I entered into the delayed enlistment program for the Air Force. They gave me the opportunity to delay my enlistment so that I would get the job that I was seeking to get, but it also gave me time to think if this is what I really wanted to do. In God's service, there is no such thing as delayed enlistment. For he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:2, and in the day of salvation. A time accepted is today. And there is plenty who are waiting for tomorrow, but it doesn't work that way. Because God is saying today. You know, Christ, John 4, verse 35, he's sitting there talking to his disciples. And he said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And that is as true today as it ever was, even in the day of the Lord, and that time that he walked this earth. A wasted moment is forfeited opportunity. We are never going to get that opportunity back. It will go by the wayside. And Jesus, for one, knew of this sense of urgency. Even he claimed in John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For night comes when no man can work. And yet we have many who just drag their feet, waiting for that one single opportunity that comes up and lets 100 pass them by. There has never been a greater need for action than today. We have been given a reprieve in our country from the persecutions that we have faced. Not much of one, just a crack in the door, but it's there. And we need to exploit that crack in the door and swing it open and walk through that open door of opportunity. The whole world needs this message of salvation. Our communities need it. We have folks out there who are doing their hardest to close the door back up and to nail it shut. We can't wait for that to happen. The ware is in the vineyard. Jesus is calling for those on the outside of the kingdom to enter into the workforce. He wants as many workers as he can possibly get. This is the reason in the parable in Matthew chapter 21. These sons were called to labor in the vineyard, and all who answered the call decided here to be laborers. You'll notice that laborers is also mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Our work of faith, our labor of love, our patience of hope will not be remembered outside of Christ. Why? Because it is performed in the wrong place. We have a lot of tremendous people in this world who have tremendous hearts and will do anything in the world for you. But if they are outside of Christ, they are in the wrong vineyard. We see it so many times, we hear it so many times that to the point I just kind of just turn the hearing aid off. I just don't want to hear it anymore about how all the churches are the same, that we're all working to the same goal. The Lord added all men who were saved to just one church, period, not a multitude. And Ephesians 5:23 tells us that he is the head of only one church. You know, when we go out and labor each and every day, for some it may be an air-conditioned office. You might be able to sit in a comfortable chair all day. There are others who are bending their backs in the heat of the day, maybe doing some heavy lifting. But it's all work. You know, spending all those years as a firefighter, I thought there was never anything tougher than that. And I would be physically tired when I got done after maybe working an emergency. But nothing prepared for me the fatigue it takes to work in an office and to sit in front of a computer or to open and research books. I have never felt fatigue like that ever before. We all labor, and some of this work is very hard. But for the work of the Lord, it is probably the most rewarding work that we could ever have. Yesterday when we got done, it was kind of funny. This morning, Ray and Joel were kind of, I think, looking after yesterday and putting up a bunch of lights in the classrooms of an Epsom salts bath and copious amounts of fried Motrin. And you know, there's a lot of work that we're not used to. And even the work of the Lord, sometimes we're not used to it, but we have to adapt and overcome. And we go out and we start tilling the ground. And we're going to get blisters. Our backs are going to hurt. we're going to notice the end of that day, or even in the middle of that day, that we're hurting pretty bad. But what happens in the physical labors when we get the sore backs and the blisters? They go away. We start to build calluses that protects our hands. Our backs will become strengthened to withstand being bent over so much. The reward of our labor is the harvest. The harvest that was planted for those blisters and the sore backs and maybe the aching feet. That's our reward. For those who decide to work, the Lord will start out much for the Lord. Work will start out much the same way. We will start by overcoming our fears. The words, "I don't know that much," will soon go by the wayside, because if our destiny is heaven, then we're going to put forth the effort and our knowledge will continue to grow. We're going to start saying less and less, "I can't remember scriptures." They're going to start coming to us. Being uncomfortable talking to strangers is going to go by the wayside, because you see, we're going to be bending our backs and creating the blisters and allowing that to heal over and become calluses, and we're going to lose those things. But brethren, we can't start planting seeds till the ground is tilled. And the best place to start to gain the confidence needed is to get the seeds in the ground right here. Accepting the opportunity to lead a prayer. Accepting the opportunity to serve on the table. Maybe even to deliver a sermon. It's like gathering your equipment up and getting ready to till. We are preparing ourselves in a safe place right here. For those who want to serve, this is the safest place you can be, because you're surrounded by folks that you love. Folks who would be able to overlook minor mistakes and errors. Maybe even overlook the fact that you may have to read half of your lesson. But it is the effort put out that makes the work so much sweeter. If we're not going to work, then our hope of ever hearing God say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's a promise that we find in Hebrews 4 and verse 9. As with all of God's promises, they are assured. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. There can be tremendous confidence for all those who labor. When I went over yesterday to see Becky and Carol after she called me about Sister Daisy, it was a difficult moment, to say the least, as it always is. I do a lot of praying oftentimes on my way over during these situations, to be able to say the right things and maybe offer the comfort. But you know, yesterday it was a matter of me being comforted more than me providing the comfort. For Sister Becky, knew exactly where her mom was and knew that she labored her whole life to get to that point. And now she's at rest from all her labors of raising four wonderful daughters who have a tremendous love and faith for God and has been a shining example for all of us sitting here today. She knew exactly where she was headed, and we do too. Paul in Colossians 3 and verse 24, he says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, this morning I read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tabernacle is dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That, my friends, when we're in that vineyard and we're working very hard for the Lord, that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. And if we get ourselves in this false sense of security that we have a lot of time, we're fooling ourselves, because there is very little time. But all the work that we do here, all the work that we do out there, as we're working together, we do it not for the glory of the church at Malden and for the people who sit in these four walls, but to the glory of God. As the opportunity strike this week, seize that opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Don't. You may be very surprised with the outcome, and the Lord will be very pleased. Share that hope that you hold deep in your heart with someone this week. The Lord is looking for workers. And if you are not in the Lord, He's still looking for you. He still wants you. Guess you could say it's almost like a recruiting poster. Uncle Sam wants you. I know He's already got you, John. I was just pointing a finger out there. And if you're not a child of God, the Lord still wants you. Now is the day. Now is the time, the accepted time. You won't walk this walk alone. Won't you come to the vineyard and work? If you're not a child of God, you can get set up in the employment line tonight with repentance and confession and baptism. And you will be gainly employed for the Lord. And you can start to work. And yes, your back is going to hurt, and you're going to have blisters, and you're going to have sore feet. But there is a salve for that. It is knowing that you've done your best for God. And you will be rewarded richly for that hard work. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you've been on coffee break too long and haven't been working the way you should be working for the Lord. And you need to make a change in your life. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.